this is a joint meeting.
Okay.
Sit down.
Get me Jeff to stay. Just tell me where to go.
You can come late and leave early.
I'll tell you where to go.
I'm so confused.
Join the club. I'd like to welcome everybody out tonight to the Daniel Town Joint Meeting of the Daniel Council and the Planning Commission. Monday, January 19th, 2022, at 7 p.m. at the Wasatch County Service Building. That's where we're at right now. Thank all of you for being here. We'll start out tonight with our first agenda item, and that will be public comments. And I just want to, as you have a comment, if you'll please stand up and state your name. I know most everybody in this room, but there are probably people that don't. So if you have a public comment, if you'll just stand up and state your name, it'll be easier for Lynn to keep the minutes and go from there. So we'll start with public comments. Okay. The next agenda item is welcome and introductions. And so what I would like to do at this particular moment in time is the new Planning Commission, and for that matter, anybody else that would like to stand up and just introduce yourself. I think it would be good for everybody in here to get to know who we are. And so we'll just start right over here. And John, if you want to stand up, great. If not, we'll go to Bridger and just go around the room real quickly.
My name's John Glodowski. I was on the council, now I'm not. And Bridger is the newest.
Bridger Wiley, I think most everybody here probably knows me. Scott just finished giving you the whole rundown on my letter there, so I'll save you from that one again.
I'm TJ McGinn. I don't know if you got the same rundown on me or not, but yeah. Good to meet everybody. Good to be here tonight.
Okay. Everybody. Ryan Taylor. I work with TO Engineers and serve as the town engineer.
Okay.
I'm Ryan Simpson. I'm just here to be here.
Good to have you, Ryan. Just to be here.
Me too. I'm just here at Madison, right?
Yeah, I'm Mick Kohler, and I'm a resident. Glad to be here.
Eric Bucker, I'm the planning director.
Byron Horner, and I've already said my piece.
Thank you.
Eric Bennett, been on the planning commission about a year and a half now.
Gary Wade, been on the planning commission for a while. I don't know how long it's been.
Very good.
Stephanie Grady, past annual town council.
Pam Skinner, planning commission, and I've been on for at least 4 years.
Thank you. I'm Scott Kohler. Happy to be here, happy to be serving.
I'm Barbara Norris.
Robin Pearson.
John Blotter.
Mary Duggan.
Lynn Schinderling, acting clerk.
Very good. Thank you. Let's go to agenda item number three, the swearing in of the new planning commission members. And so I'll just turn the time over to Lynn for the swearing in of the new commission members.
Could I have you all come up here? I guess the three of you, Byron, Bridger, and TJ. This is what you're going to read. I'm going to have you each state your name, and then you can say the rest of it in unison, whether you swear or affirm to the oath.
Usually I fail.
If you'll raise your right hand and say aye and your name, please.
Aye, Tyler Horner. Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
All right, if I could have you each just sign your papers on the line below and hand those in to me.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay, thank you. We'll take care of Mark.
That'll be done.
At another time, if you're willing to do that. I think that we'll just take the agenda items the way they are, and if people need to leave, they can. So we'll move to the meeting agenda number four, annual and open public meeting training. I've asked Mary Duggan if she'll take care of that for us. She's well understanding and knowledgeable, and so we'll go to that.
My new members that didn't get their training manuals. Sorry, Lynn.
You're fine.
So I have a question before you start. Mine says silk fiber dye print.
Okay.
Thank you.
So this is how we do things at Daniel's. None of these are brand new, okay? This is how we do it. We cut corners everywhere we can, where we can save a dollar. So these all came from the thrift store, or they were donated to me by my niece. So anyway, these will be your manuals. You feel free to do with them as you please. And as you get more information, more paperwork, if you want to put it in there. In fact, I could give you a nicer one since this was the next one.
I kind of like it.
You do? Well, there you go. The annual open and public meeting training is something that is required by state code. And every entity has to do it, and everybody that is in a committee, which you're now in a commission and we're on the council, is required to do this. So what I'm planning to do tonight is have you just read along with me. Everyone's got one of these, by the way. So where it says handbook for planning commissions and land use authorities, there's not a page number, but let's see here. Do you know what page it is, Lynn?
Which one?
For the open and public meeting training. I thought I had it marked here. You can see that I'm not very organized. This is not what I normally do. It's number three, meetings and minutes, if anybody can find that. I'd like you to just read along with me, and that way we won't miss anything. We'll be sure and get it on the record, and everybody will then have this X in the box for our annual training.
It's number three.
Mm-hmm. Everybody with me there?
Yep.
Okay.
No, I'm not, Mary.
Looks like this.
Number three. Oh, okay.
Okay, and like I say, this comes from the Planning Commission training manual. So
you're back. You aren't a long way.
Okay, so all meetings of the Planning Commission are subject to the Open and Public Meetings Act. The whole act is 52.4, and it's about 30 pages long. We don't need to go through all of that, so we're just going to hit the highlights that they've listed for us in the training here. This means that every meeting will have an agenda that is posted before the meeting, that all issues and items voted on during the meeting will be on the agenda, and that meetings will be held before the public. The meetings must also be summarized in written and adopted minutes. Additionally, all meetings must be voice recorded. Now, in the past, we've been doing the video recording as well. I don't know if we'll be continuing that or not. We have a new mayor. He's coming up with some new ideas, and we'll see where we go with that. By the way, if there's an item that you want to talk about in the meeting, you can certainly do that, but you can't take action on anything unless it is on the agenda. Okay? Anytime that the majority of the commissioners are meeting and are talking about commission business, a majority now, that would be four of the seven, they are in violation of the law unless the meeting has an agenda, was noticed, and is being held in public. It is possible to have a closed meeting, but the commission should not do so except on the advice of an attorney and in strict adherence to the exceptions stated in Utah law. Now, that's for the commission. The council can have closed sessions, and there are certain things. We've included this in our training manual that we can have a closed session. But these are the only things. That's the record. The only things that we can hold a closed meeting for are discussion of the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual, strategy sessions to discuss collective bargaining, strategy sessions to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation, strategy sessions to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property, including any form of a water right or water shares, if public discussion of the transaction would harm the transaction. I'm skipping down a little bit. Discussion regarding deployment of security personnel, devices, or systems. Investigative proceedings regarding allegations of criminal misconduct. And I can't imagine that we'd ever have that, but anyway, that is one of the acceptable reasons for having a closed meeting. And then it goes on down to different things. Again, I don't think that we would have anything that would pertain to those things. In a closed meeting, a public body may not, now this is skipping over to the next page, we may not interview a person applying to fill an elected position. We may not have a closed meeting to discuss filling a midterm vacancy or temporary absence. We may not discuss the character, professional competence, or physical and mental health of a person whose name was submitted for consideration to fill a midterm vacancy or temporary absence. So, just wanted to get that in there because there are times when we will be holding a closed session, and we want to be sure that we are definitely following the code for that. So back now to our read along with you. Minutes of the meeting are very important. If the commission is sued, the judge will base his or her decision in part on what is found in the minutes. It is important, therefore, that minutes be taken by someone trained in the skill and that they reflect not only decisions, final decisions, but the reasons for making that decision. So findings, the written facts, and evidence used in making a decision are more important to the court than is the decision itself. Does that make any sense? A court has no interest in making land use decisions for you. It is interested in making sure you followed due process, obeyed the law as written, and protected the rights of everyone involved. The findings of fact are often a separate document from the meeting minutes. However, the substance of the findings of fact must be reflected in the minutes. And this refers to the council as well. We have to make these discussions. We can't just make a motion and go right to the vote. We have to talk about what we're doing, the good reasons, pro and con, for why we're doing what we're doing, and then that's reflected in the record of the minutes. Minutes and tape recordings are public property and will be made available to the public on request. As you review the minutes of a meeting, this is very important, make sure that they reflect the important points of the discussion. The findings, decision, final vote, and any conditions that may have been attached to the project. You are not allowed to change the minutes after the meeting to reflect what you wish had been said but did not. That's important. Make sure that you get those points in the record because the record is what we depend on. If it didn't get into the minutes, according to the judge, it didn't happen. Approval of minutes should not be automatic or perfunctory. They should be read for accuracy and completeness before you approve them. On the next page.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So you approved the minutes from the last meeting, right?
Yes.
So as they've reviewed those, or if we review our minutes and say, that's not the intent, mm-hmm. how do you go about amending the minutes from the previous meeting before they're adopted or finalized or approved?
Well, you notice that I made the motion to approve the minutes.
Yeah.
And there was a second.
Yes.
And then we have a discussion.
Right.
So if there is anything in those minutes that you want to change or correct, then you would make comment on that, and the rest of your group would be allowed to either agree or not agree with you. And then when those corrections are made, then the motion will include the corrections that have been suggested, and then you'll vote on that.
So there's also a recording. So what would the judge do with the recording? Would that be used and say, you didn't do a good job with the minutes, but the minutes take precedence? Do you know how that works?
Well, if you were a judge, if you had a written record, or you were going to spend 2 hours listening to a recording, which one of those would you choose?
Well, the minutes, but I'm just wondering if...
Depends if there's a discrepancy.
If the attorneys can bring that up.
They could bring that up, but I would think it's at the discretion of the judge, and I believe that the judge would probably go with the written record. My opinion.
I'm just wondering what the risk is there of, you know...
Well, that's why those written minutes are so important, you know, because in the discussion, you're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff that may not be relevant at all.
Like this.
Like this. Yeah. Now, this is very relevant, but, you know, you get off on a track, and...
Yeah.
So, closed sessions are also recorded. Sorry,
I just had something to add there.
Sure.
Our attorneys did bring that up and told the judge from this point in the tape to this, this is when, and so they did listen to the recording on the last one that we have. But our attorneys went through those and told them where on the tape they listened to.
And we paid for that.
Yes, we did.
So, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Written record, if you can do a good job with that, you're way ahead. So, but that was a very good question.
I was just curious because our minutes have kind of varied between very detailed to very not detailed, you know, over the years at different times.
And that's why I'm reading this to you, so that you can, in the future, decide how you want to handle that. So did that answer your question then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a great deal more that needs to be known about how minutes are kept and how records must be handled, and your staff needs to be fully informed. It is prudent, therefore, that the clerk attend training for the Planning Commission as well as that offered by the Clerks and Recorders Association. The best way to avoid problems with the Open and Public Meetings Act is to err on the side of open or public openness. When in doubt, the meeting should be open. City councils and other committees or commissions of cities should not attempt to violate even the spirit of the act. It is important that the meeting not only is conducted in public, but the deliberations be conducted openly. Discuss your points, your pros, your cons, the issue. You know, like that's what I'm saying, that if you did in fact have to go to court over an issue, the judge will, that person's not even interested in what your answer was, what decision you came to, but how did you get to that decision? We don't want to be capricious, is what they say. It is not appropriate for members of public bodies, such as city councils and planning commissions, to conduct their deliberations privately, and then in the public meeting, just perfunctorily hold the vote. Okay? So there's that. That's the open and public meeting training that I would offer to you tonight. There's a lot more in this training manual that would be appropriate, and I would suggest that you read and study, and anything that we can do to answer your questions would be, you know, I'd be thrilled to do that. I wanted to talk a little bit about Daniel. It occurred to me that we have a lot of new people here that weren't here at the beginning of Danieltown. I was. Eric Bunker was, let's see, around, well, but you weren't involved with this. Gary Waite was, let's see, no, Pam wasn't here. John was, John Blotter, you were, yep. So let me just say that in 2 weeks, we will have been in business for 16 years. We've come a long way that time. We started from zero, nothing. So this is your town. I don't know if you've ever even seen a map of it, and this is not very definitively outlined, but you can see here. We've had 4 annexations over this course of time. The Little Sweden, I'm sorry, this is the Little Sweden area. The Stormhaven area. This little jut out here was called the Giles Annexation. And then, Ryan, I need to point out here that we've missed the Daniel Water annexation right here, which goes down and includes the new water tank and up on the hillside. So we'll need to make sure that that's on the next map. But
pulled up from the county, so we'll maybe get that fixed.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I got that.
I'm pretty sure we downloaded that boundary from the county, so we'll have to.
So we'll have to talk to them about that.
We'll get that fixed.
I know it happened though, because I was the one who did it. My history with the town, you know, Eric has been on the council and as the planning director for years. John was on the council for years. I was the clerk recorder from 2007 through 2013, the end of 2013, and then Lynn took over after I did. So we were involved in a lot of things that happened. We had a lot of lawsuits. We went through a lot of, in fact, we went to every court level in the state, including the Supreme Court of Utah and the Federal District Court of the United States, and also the Bankruptcy Court of the United States. So I've been at every level and attended all those hearings and had to read all those briefs. And we've been through the ringer. I mean, we're a little town, but we've had a lot of experience with a lot of different things. They don't cut you any slack just because you're small. The proper name for our town is Town of Daniel, not Daniel. And not Daniels. Everyone says that, but it's Town of Daniel, and so we'll shorten it to just Daniel. We have approximately 10 miles of road in our town. We have approximately 350 homes in our town. We have, we hope, less than 1,000 people, but it is about 1,000 people. We'll see what the census comes up with. If you go over 1,000, you become a city of the fifth class.
Yeah.
And there are a few more things we have, hoops we have to jump through for a city of the fifth class. So we don't want to do that if we don't have to. But we do get more money if we're over 1,000 people. So it's pro and con. So anyway, you can see that we're pretty irregularly shaped. You can see up here, here's the airport. Transfer station is right over here. Let's see, the gravel pit is down here. What else do we have? Anybody else?
It's our burnt mountains.
The what?
Our burnt mountains.
Oh yeah, all this. That was the nightmare we'd been expecting, but it's already happened, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. Almost all of our town is RA5, residential agricultural 5 acres per house. We do have one little section over here that's RA1. We accepted that in an annexation because it was already zoned that by Wasatch County. In fact, when the town of Daniel incorporated in 2006, we accepted the zoning as it was at the time. So you ask, well, then how come we have so many, if we're RA5, how come we have all these little bitty places? Well, that's a really good question, because it's a mess is what that is. You know, we're not the only ones that are dealing with this kind of thing. But all of those smaller lots, anything less than RA5, 5 acres, is a non-conforming lot now, because we don't allow people to subdivide into acreages less than 5 acres. I think it's the minimum number is what, 4.66?
Yeah,
I think that's right, after you start with the 5. And that means if you had to dedicate anything for a road or anything like that. So I think we would approve a lot that's 4.66 if you have started with the 5. I think that's correct.
That's correct.
You're right? Okay.
Yep, start with 5, then we go to the dedicated.
Okay. And we've only done that once or twice as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
But anyway. We have a process, we have due process. Everybody has to follow the same rules. They have LUDMA, L-U-D-M-A, Land Use Development Managed Act. And in this case, it's in our state code under 10-9A. And we'll probably be printing that out for you so that you have all of that. In fact, we'll have a lot of documents to print out so that you'll be able to refer to all these things. Anyway, so those non-conforming lots have caused us a lot of trouble, because there's people that want to build on them, and they aren't necessarily a legal lot of record, okay? Now we're getting into the weeds. We're not going to go there. We're just not going to go there because it's a very complicated issue. We have rules and laws, and we have to have people that manage those rules and laws. So tonight, I wanted to pull together not too much information for you because it gets, like I say, way down in the weeds. But I did want to bring this because this little page in your manual shows us the relationship between the different boards that we have. The state requires, because we are allowed to make laws and regulate land use, they tell us that we have to have these three entities. Over here in the left-hand column, the action column, it says characteristics, public input, responsible party, and examples of applications. The first column there, legislative, that's the city council, or the town council, or the county council. That's this group here. And you can see in that column, we make the law. I'm, by the way, a town council person, so I'm going to be with this board over here. We do make the law. And we have very broad authority in making that law. As long as we don't contradict the state code, as long as we, you know, say, oh, we're not going to let you do that because we're Daniel, and I know the state lets you do it, but we're not going to let you do it. We can't do that. But we do have broad authority. And the laws can be put on the ballot. And I'm talking about a referendum or initiative right now. Initiative is a law that the public wants, and they put it on a ballot, and they vote on it, and then the council would be required to then pass that law. A referendum is the opposite of that. If we pass a law and the public doesn't want it, they can go for a referendum. It requires a petition. There's a whole big, long process. But we would then have to rescind that law if the public voted to take it off of our books. So we have very broad authority as a council. The second column where it says administrative, that's you. That's the Planning Commission. Includes some other things as well. But you can see that your job is to apply the law that we pass. And you're much more restricted. You can't make any law. You know, you can't say, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that 50-foot setback from the street. I don't think that's really stupid. You can't. You can't do that. Because if that's what our code says, then that's what we have to enforce. The third column is quasi-judicial. This is called the Appeal Authority. And this is another board. If we make a mistake as a council, not a council, I'm sorry, back up. Planning Commission or our staff, or a planning director, or just any of the administrative things that we do, if we applied the rules and the applicant didn't like, thought they weren't being treated properly, that, you know, we made a mistake or whatever, they appeal then to this appeal authority. And that appeal authority, we will have five people on that board eventually. Right now, I think we only have three, but we'll have five people. And they sit like a court. And they will then be presented information brought by the applicant, and our own staff will have to defend their actions, and then those five people will make a decision. But we won't talk any more about that tonight because that's not your job and it's not our job. That's the appeal authority's job, and we call it the Board of Appeals. So let's go back to the action, public input. Under the council, we are broad and often. In fact, we can talk to anybody about anything. One-on-one, we can do that. We can't get together three of us and talk about things because that would break the Open and Public Meeting Act, right? But two of us can get together and talk, or I can talk to any of you guys in any number, anything. I can do, you know, I'm open. I can listen to anything. But the commission cannot do that. You're very limited, and it's for information only. You can't, for instance, I put in an application, and I think, you know, you're going to vote for me, right? You're going to pass it? Yeah? Hey, I'm your neighbor. You can do that for me. Can't do that. And in fact, if anybody did approach you in that way, I'd recommend that you disclose that in an open and public meeting, and you just say, "I'm sorry, I can't talk to you about that." But when you're in session, you should say, "So-and-so did try to talk to me about this, and I told them that, you know, we'd have to have that in the meeting in front of everyone." Okay? So far, so good? All right. The responsible party taking action. Okay. So this comes up a lot, and this came up in one of our lawsuits, as a matter of fact, because the attorney said, the Planning Commission is the land authority. Well, in some cases, you are the land authority. You do make the final decision on some things. But there are a lot of other things that you can't make the final decision on, because it's not your responsibility. It belongs to the council, or it belongs to the staff, or, you know, like I say, the council needs to actually define, and Gary, wait, this is what we were talking about. The council needs to define exactly what the Planning Commission is responsible for, and make sure that everyone understands what their diversified tasks are. Now, this training will talk to you about that, and it actually goes through and talks about how your code should be set up, and so I would really hope that you would spend some time looking at that and come up with a recommendation for the council. And you can see here, under the legislative land use authorities, that includes the town council and the Planning Commission. But with the asterisk, it says, your advisory body to the council. Okay? So what you'll be doing is making decisions about things that are brought to you by the planning director and by the applicants and by even our town engineer back here. Or maybe we will ask you to look at something, and you'll take a look in depth, you'll check with our code, you'll check with everything that you can, and then you'll make a recommendation and bring it to the council. Okay? So your advisory, mostly. Now, there are some things that you would be able to decide yourself. And if we go down at the bottom there, let's see, no, wait a minute. Let's go back over to the administrative column, all the way down to land use authorities. And this is the responsible party. So the city, town council is a land use authority. Planning Commission is a land use authority. The mayor is a land use authority. Staff is a land use authority. Enforcement officer is a land use authority, as designated by the legislative body. So once again, the council needs to take that in hand and make those decisions to decide who's going to decide what, and we'll go from there. Okay, so down in the bottom, examples of applications, the town council will be responsible for, it says creation of the general plan, but really and truly, the general plan runs through the Planning Commission first, and then you make a recommendation to the council. We update that every 5 years. It's coming up. So that would be one of those things that we would hope that you all would start to think about and begin to work on. Next thing is the zoning ordinance and amendments. And here, we've got some things that definitely need to be worked on. We have very little commercial in our town. It's very spotty right now. We have some industrial that's located, like right up in here. Oh, wait. Over here. Industrial is over here. Some industrial is over here. We have some P160, that's preservation 160, right here. And let's see, I think the rest of it is RA5 or RE1. Am I correct?
Yep.
I think that's right. So we need to start thinking about the future. You know, where are we going to put those commercial areas? We've got some that's right up, where am I? Here. Sweden. Excuse me. I'm hoping that we end up having some out here. But it's time to think. And it's time to plan. I'm going to lose my voice. Okay, I'm almost done. In a subdivision ordinance, you will make a decision about a advisory
about whether the council should approve the subdivision or not, but the council is the one that actually approves those things. Under your administrative column, application of ordinances, so building permit approval, and I believe right now we are doing that. Subdivision plat approval, I don't think you do that. You just make a recommendation for approval. And also conditional uses. And I think at this time, you will make a recommendation and then the council will either approve or not approve those. But again, that could change. You know, you could be the final authority on that if the council so designates. What I've talked about tonight is just a scratch on the surface of training. The state would love to have you very well trained, and so would our council. The better we're all trained, the more efficient we can be, the faster services we provide to our residents and to people who want to move here. It just works better all the way around. Do I have any questions yet?
Are they having any public planning commission training outside our town that you know about?
There's always training.
I think I went to one in Provo once or Orem or something.
Yeah, and it's put on by the Utah League of Cities and Towns, which is the entity that the planning director should actually be talking about this. But that handbook was put out by the Utah League of Cities and Towns. And they have a sister organization. It's called the Land Use Academy. It's online, and there are publications and videos there, you know, for training. What I would recommend is that you take some time. If you feel comfortable electing a chair and a vice chair. Now, Gary says that our code says that the planning director is the chair.
No, it says the chair is the planning director. It's not the planning director is the chair.
Okay.
And that's worked in the past because Eric was the chair.
Because it worked out that way.
And so the council has to say that they want to split that out.
I did put our code in your manual. This is the Daniel Municipal Code. And this was actually put together by our attorney when we became a town. And it was our enabling legislation. Should be right at the very front. Enabling legislation so that we could actually set these bodies up. And under powers and duties, it says the Planning Commission is the land use authority. Now that's where it says the land use authority. And that's been used against us. I think it should stay a land use authority. And has the authority to prepare and recommend to the municipal legislative body for the adoption and amendments to the land use map, the general plan, ordinance, Title 8. Now, we adopted Wasatch County Code Title 16 when we became a town. We just went, okay, we're going to call it Title 8, but that's what we're doing because Wasatch County actually did all our planning and zoning for us for a couple of years because we didn't have anybody that could do it. And then when they got busy, you know, remember back in those days and they were approving everything in sight, they said, huh, we're too busy. You guys, you got to do your own. And then the bottom fell out. So we did fine and they didn't. You know, for a while they didn't have anything to do. And but anyway, that was good for us because then we got independent and started doing our own thing. So ordinances, zoning maps or official maps, the annexation policy plan and subdivision plats. The Planning Commission also has the authority to review all plans as a development review committee and application as Title 8 allows and provide other functions as the municipal legislative body directs. And then we talk about the Board of Appeals. On 3, we say the boards will meet and elect a chair and vice chair from the members of the board. I don't know about that planning director thing. I don't know where that came from.
Well, I'm just saying. Uh-huh. What it's saying is the planning director is the chair of the board unless...
So we need to change that.
The council, the council needs to say we want to separate it out. I mean, what I read tells you you can do that. But I'm just saying it ought to be done if that's what the intent of the council is.
Well, the thing about it is that the Planning Commission has to be independent of the council, and it has to be independent of the planning director, because you're advising us. You know, I mean, you're not going to just rubber stamp, surely.
Don't disagree, but
if you
look at our code, there's very little that's defined for the planning director.
I know.
And I think we need some better definitions so that everybody understands how things work.
Excellent suggestion.
And it says, you say there's got to be a clear line of demarcation, but it says no more than one member of the planning commission. They also serve as a member of the legislative body.
Do you know that's still in the state code? That is still in the state code. But we got into trouble legally with this, and I think that needs to come out of there, for sure.
It certainly does, because otherwise, this here is all, becomes very...
Yeah, and that's why we're kind of going over this.
Confusing.
The chair and vice chair shall serve a term from January to January of each year, or until the board meets and elects a replacement, adopts policies and procedures for the conduct of its meeting and the process of application, and other purposes considered necessary to the functioning of the board. And that is talking about bylaws, which you just swore to follow. I don't know about bylaws. I was told there are some bylaws, but I've never seen them. So that's another thing that the planning commission probably needs to begin to talk about. So anyway, I just wanted to give you the enabling legislation. I just wanted to, you know, like I say, scratch the surface to get this ball rolling. This is not my job. I'm a town council person. I'm also functioning temporarily, along with Lynn, as the deputy clerk recorder, just filling in where she's doing a great job, by the way. She's putting in a lot of time, filling in where I can, doing what I can, and making this go. Anybody have any questions? Or I wanted to keep this short. I promised to get you out of here by 8 o'clock. So far, so good. Anything? Gary, I thought your suggestions are excellent. I'm hoping, I'm going to put you on the spot, I'm hoping you'll volunteer to be the first chair and, you know, help. I think, in my opinion, this is my opinion.
It's a choice of the rest of the planning commissioners.
I don't know that, I think that would probably, I'm not a municipal guru by any stretch, but as a planning commission, we would probably get together and nominate one of us to be that chairperson. But in light of what Gary's saying with regard to our code or our whatever, we probably need to delineate that, and these guys have to do that before we can act.
But we need to have you take a look at that and make a recommendation to us, or we can take a look at that and ask you to take a look at it. I mean, it's a roundabout process, okay?
Well, we just asked you to take a look at that, and we probably need to sever that authority.
Sounds good.
I think it makes sense for Gary and Eric to draft those ideas up and present it, because they're so close to what's going on.
You know, I feel like that's what the council, how does the council want to deal with planning. I don't think it really is ours. I think you should look at what that says, decide if I'm making sense or not making sense. But I think the council can say, you know, we want to separate that, and here are the duties of the planning director. But I think you've got to do it. I don't think the planning commission can do it.
Oh, I agree with that. But I think the input from you guys knowing how to delineate those duties would be helpful.
Let's hear from the planning director.
Well, the planning director really is staff for the planning commission and the council. So I really work for both. And so whatever my authority comes from the council, that's what, again, I serve at the pleasure of the mayor, so.
Right, but I'm just saying, in our code, there's nothing other than a couple of little things about what the planning director does. And I'm saying it's an important position. It ought to be laid out. And for you to say, I've done a great job because I've done the things that I've been asked to do. But right now, what have you been asked to do?
So you're asking for a job description?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds like a good idea. I think the town engineer can also contribute to that.
Yeah.
Everyone knows our town engineer over in the corner hiding. Like he's not part of this discussion. But, well, here's the thing. In my opinion, we all have to work together on this. You've hit a lot of good points. Mayor, you are looking at making some changes. And keep in mind, we're in this transition phase. you know, we've got new council people, we've got new planning commissioners, we have a new mayor. Eric's position is changing somewhat. We're all kind of in a state of flux, and so it's going to settle down here pretty soon. I think we'll have, it's got to. I can't keep this up, right? But we're going to be hiring a new clerk, I hope, soon.
Are we in a position where we can nominate a chair?
You don't have a full, let's see, you do have one.
Yeah, we got one, two, three, four, five of us.
And I think we need somebody in charge. We should do it.
If we can we nominate a chairman, irregardless of what seems to be a meshed head?
I'd just like to make a comment.
Please.
The planning commission functions as a body. And there is a chairman of that planning commission, and he basically sets the agenda for the meetings. It isn't the planner, it isn't the planning director, even though Eric was doing both. At some point in time, there needs to be separation between the planner and the planning commission. They need to be thinking separately and receiving direction. But they don't need to be the same person nor the same body. The planning director should be the chairman of the planning commission. He's directing the affairs, administrative affairs of the planning commission. He's setting the agenda. He's working with the secretary. He's making sure that the minutes are prepared and everything's ready to go. He's the director of the planning commission, and therefore the director of planning. Then, aside from that, we have a staff person who we call planner. And his function, as Eric has pointed out, is to receive direction from the town council if we have items that we want him to look into or see. But he also is the staff for the planning commission. But he does not act independent of any of those bodies. He basically receives direction in all of those situations. So that way there's a clean line of demarcation between the planning commission, the planning director, and the planner. And they act as independent bodies and receive direction. And then the planning commission basically, in almost all cases, refers their recommendations and advice, and even recommendations about the zone changes or updates of the master plan to the town council. The town council can overrule any of those items or say, we want to amend this, or your suggestions are taken under advisement, but we basically want to make these incremental changes. But there must be a sacred, independent relationship. Otherwise, the pot all gets stirred together, and then those people we interact with do not have the official opportunity to basically petition their case, have that case reviewed and understood, have recommendations made by the Planning Commission. Also assist, having the planner assist them in gathering information and doing independent legwork, and then they bring that information back. Ultimately, it comes to the town council.
I think we have that picture. I think we all agree that that's what needs to happen. The question is, in these rules that we have to follow, can we, because I would love to make a recommendation to appoint a chairman tonight so that there's a head of this committee or this commission going forward when we leave tonight, rather than going home and a month from now being in the same boat. So can we, as a commission, make a motion or adopt or appoint a chairman of our committee tonight or our commission tonight and have that binding based on what rules we have to follow and the current definitions?
It's kind of like putting the cart before the horse. Man, we all agreed that there needed to be a job description for that person. So that basically we knew in advance kind of the mantra we're giving that individual, right, as he accepts that challenge. Now, do you want to have the job description before you elect them? I think it can work either way.
Well, can we appoint them as a temporary, because who guides that meeting, right? I mean,
I think you can even appoint him tonight, but basically refer to the council to
give him some direction in terms of...
Well, I wish people quit pointing at me. I think there's enough...
She nominated you, so I'm just saying.
There's enough, but she can't.
I know that.
How do you think I got up here?
There's enough information in there, in the code, that talks to what the planning chairman does. What I'm saying, planning director, there's not. And planning staff is kind of iffy.
It's complicated as well, because we basically hired TOs, secretarial staff, to be our planning department. And the planning secretary now, we're doing that for the time being, until we figure out what is going on. So, again, the mayor is looking at making some changes here. I think, my opinion, we have had some legal advice that we need to separate completely, just as Robin has said here, and that we do need to go ahead, in my opinion, nominate and elect a chair for the planning commission.
May I make a nomination of Gary Waite to serve as the chairman of the...
I think we need to move to that agenda item first. Let the mayor call us to that point in time in the meeting.
So we're to that point, but Gary, go ahead.
To clarify the training, though, if the planning commission makes a recommendation and it's based on town code, the council can't really willy-nilly change that recommendation or do something different. They have to change the law first,
what you're talking about is just one definition. One definition.
Okay.
And our code says you will elect a chair and a vice chair. It doesn't say in there the code.
No, I'm talking about just in general after Robin's comments. That if it goes, you know, and this is kind of more of the training, if something goes from planning and we say we're denying this because it's only 4 acres and it needs to be 5, the council can't willy-nilly just say, okay, this one's fine, but nobody else's is.
Oh, no.
They would have to go change the law,
no,
and then
no.
Everyone could do it, because everyone should get the same treatment.
You have to enforce the code.
Unless,
in fact, that would never get past the planning director or the engineer. That would never happen.
Right, but I'm just saying, just in general, the council can change the law, but they have to follow it until it's changed.
Yeah.
I will agree with that.
Okay,
but
that's just
by the same token, that's why we have something called a variance. And oftentimes, if circumstances are so unique, bear with me, please, Mary.
Yes, of course.
If those circumstances are so unique or so that it requires us to consider a variance, I'm not talking about the number of acres or whatever, but basically, it is not so that basically common individuals cannot use common sense sometimes to bring about good government. And so it's not all black and white, and it doesn't have to be painted with one brush. Basically, we're all individuals who have brains to think and find solutions, not just point out the flaws. And so anyway.
A variance could only be granted, though, by the appeal authority, the Board of Appeals, or by the council.
It's not the planning commission.
No.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what you're stating is right. You don't want to set a precedent and then have to set a new precedent every time somebody
but
else.
You can also set a precedent with a variance.
That's
well,
precedent.
No, every no.
Everyone has to do it separately, but
you
can
still
come back and say you've granted this before.
Yeah.
That's why it's in the law.
There are 5 things that you have to satisfy in order to grant. I'm on the Board of Adjustments for Wasatch County. You have to satisfy 5 conditions. They're very restrictive. We almost never, ever grant a variance. Occasionally, yes, but almost never. And it's very, very hard to do. Well, anyway, I know this is complicated. I know it's hard. We've got to make some changes. We're throwing you in the deep end, I think. But we're willing to help. I think Eric would be an excellent resource. I know Ryan would be a great resource. We'll do anything we can to, you know, get back on track. And but, you know, legally, like I say, we've had some legal advice that says we have to make these separations. And just as Robin described. Now, Robin, I think that you said planning director would be the chair. And I know you meant the planning commission chair.
Well, we can split hairs on words, but, you know, planner, planning director, planning chair.
But they're all different.
Okay, so I'm going to speak for a second. We're going to pull this into, I appreciate the discussion that's taking place, and we can split hairs one way or another, but bottom line, we've gone through item number four and item number five, and we're to item number six right now. And that would be the possible election of a chair and a vice chair by the planning commission. And I say that we move forward and we go ahead, and the planning commission goes ahead and makes a nomination. Eric raised his hand.
I was just going to read you this code that affirms exactly what you're saying. And of course, it's 20103, number two. The planning commission shall consist of seven members, with the chair and vice chair being voted from members of the commission. The chair and vice chair shall be annual positions as described in 20103 above. No more than one member that can be on the legislative body. So Eric's not on the planning commission. I think that takes care of that code that we're talking about, that the hang-up. You now have a seven member. I think you're totally within your scope to do that tonight.
Okay, and Eric's not on the council.
Yeah.
So I just want to say I appreciate Mary doing this training. Moving forward, I think we're going to have a lot more training. I think there's a lot of us that need some training and need some understanding, and me included. I'm very new at this, and part of the reason we did this tonight is because we are in the process of changing a few things and moving forward in the direction that the council and the town wants to see us move forward. And I'm grateful for the changes. I'm looking forward to what this means. And so let's go right ahead to the possible election of the chair and vice chair and for a nomination.
I would make a nomination based on experience and prior understanding of issues and things that we would nominate Gary Waite as our planning commission chair.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a first and we have a second. Do we have any discussion on the first and the second?
Does Gary want to do the job?
Don't ask him that, Pam.
is he willing to is the question.
Yeah.
He has a vote.
Yeah. So
I'm willing to. I retired years ago. I'm trying to stay retired.
Okay. Huh. So let's go to a vote on the motion then.
Aye.
Could you say your names?
Bridger, aye.
Thank you.
DJ, aye.
Gary,
I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
Eric, aye. Byron, aye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Pam, aye.
Pam.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, vote passed unanimously.
Okay, now you have a chair.
Okay.
You want to turn the chair over?
Now we need a vice chair.
Yep. Yes. So, Mayor, would you like to turn the control of the meeting over to the chair of the Planning Commission?
Yes, for the remainder of the nominations, yes. Turn the meeting over to Gary.
Okay. Can I get a motion for a vice chair? From anyone?
I'll make a motion that Eric Bennett is the vice chair. you're well qualified, you're knowledgeable, you're relatively new, so you have good ideas.
Okay, do we have a second?
A second, that was convincing.
Okay, is there any discussion? Okay, call for a vote then.
Byron, aye.
I'll I'll do the abstain thing. Gary did.
Pam, aye.
Bridger, aye.
Did you vote?
No, I voted.
Congratulations.
Woo-hoo!
We're moving forward. I like it.
See, your traction getting thinner all the time.
Love it. Awesome.
He could do the minutes as well, since they were...
So we're approving, you need a copy of this agenda, or have you got one?
I've got one.
Okay.
So you want me to go ahead on that one?
Absolutely.
Okay, we have the minutes from November 17th. They have a motion to approve the minutes.
I have a question on that. I've not read the minutes.
Me either.
You can postpone.
They are...
No, they're right here, but if you weren't in the meeting, it'd be hard to approve.
You can still vote.
So you can still vote? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise...
You never get approved.
And this one.
But you can abstain from voting on them. You can say, I'd like to have another month. There's lots of options.
Well, I'd kind of like to know what I'm voting on.
Yeah.
Right here. This is the minutes. Our last meeting.
How many does it take to get this in the past? That's going to take three.
Four.
But you've only got three of you that have been there and just looked at.
Yeah, well, it's one today.
See, I have the clue what the vast agenda is for any of this.
I don't know whether we wait until after we...
I would make a motion that we hold off until new members of the commission have had a chance to review the minutes.
Okay, is there a second?
Second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
Is there audio that they can listen to approve the...
Yes, the audio is online.
It's on the website.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, let's call for a vote then.
Aye. To table it?
To table it, yeah.
Till our next meeting?
On your motion.
Continue it.
Continue, okay.
Continue it.
Okay, whatever that is. I'll learn.
It goes to the next meeting.
They didn't teach me this at Boy State.
Eric?
You voted? Aye for Eric.
Okay, aye for Gary.
Aye for TJ. Bridger.
Aye for Pam.
Notice that we do the roll call with your name, because we do a recording, and people listening on the recording don't know who you are if you don't say your name. And speaking up is really good, too, because of the, you know, sometimes it doesn't pick up the voices.
Okay, and just maybe to make it easier next month, Amelia Pace's last name is misspelled, and I think Munford is Mumford.
Definitely you're right on Pace. I think it is Mun, M-U-N. I think it's Munford. I think it is.
Then we've maybe seen it spelled the other way in other things. So as long as it's correct, that's fine.
Okay.
So what are the conditions above?
Okay, there's... Why don't you go ahead and bring that up with...
Just something for the minutes that we need to clarify in November 17th minutes. On items 2 and 3, it mentions the conditions above, but there's no conditions above that I can see anywhere. Although on one we talked about addressing things like weeds, and on the other one, I don't know if that's the conditions above. We need to figure that one out.
Typically it's on the list from TO.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I thought, after learning about minutes, it would really be helpful for us is if we usually don't get them till a day or two before the next meeting, and I think if we got them right after the first meeting, our memories would be better. We could look at them then and make some notes or corrections to them then, and they'd be more accurate that way.
Gives you a chance to listen to the tape again if you forgot.
I do that every night.
Just a comment for you, Gary. I was not the preparer of those minutes. Carrie Stevens was, and
right,
she
right.
is no longer here. So I think your best bet is to listen to the audio, and if there are other documents involved, maybe you could get copies from commissioners.
Are you going to be doing them in the future?
until a new clerk is hired, yes.
So that was my question. Is the clerk for the council the same as the clerk for the commission?
Can be, or...
Is that advantageous to have that be the same person?
I'll address that real briefly. We are in the process of discussing that, whether we're going to have one secretary, one clerk auditor handle both, clerk recorder, not auditor, or whether we're going to have two. We have not yet made that decision, but that decision will be made in the next 30 days. So
you have a clerk and a, you're serving as a some other clerk?
I'm the deputy clerk recorder right now.
So what's the difference in that
there,
role?
There was previously a planning secretary who attended your meetings.
Okay.
We're kind of working this job in unison because...
She retired after the last meeting.
She moved to Idaho. She actually moved, and so that vacated that spot. And so we're in the process of working on that right now, to answer your question.
Okay, so is it advantageous to have our own?
They're talking about it.
Yep. Okay, so you'll direct
they'll
us
decide.
On that.
They'll direct us.
Okay.
I think the next thing we had was the planner report.
Okay.
So the council got a copy of the planning report in the council meeting.
So this is the items that's going on in the town as we're talking. Yes, please. Anybody on the council need a copy? Did I miss anybody? Anybody else need a copy?
Is this the same one?
Yes, same one.
Okay.
Yes. Need a copy?
I'll take one. You say I got one. I don't even care.
You bet. So as those applications come in, they'll be turned in at T&O, and then we go through that application, just so you know how that happens. We go through the application, make sure it's complete, and that's when it gets put onto your agenda. And after we've made that determination, the fees are paid, and the application's complete. So we handle that between T&O and the planner office. These are all the permits that are active right now. That you have seen or have been handled administratively. Any questions on that?
How long of an extension do Steiners want?
So the Steiners, by our code, they're allowed a 1-year extension for a good cause. They have just submitted a letter asking for an extension. So that'll probably be coming to you in your next meeting.
Question, Eric. I sometimes don't know who these people are. Is it okay that we put their address on your planning report?
It would be okay.
Just because I don't, you know, you say Steiner, I have no idea where, who, and not that it matters who or where, but maybe it does. The where part.
It'd be nice
part,
to make a drive by.
Well, that was the one you guys approved. It's right at the end of 3000 South.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah,
I can include an address in that report.
Okay.
Clearly, it's been a year.
So
they've asked for an extension.
Thank you.
Yeah, they've asked for an extension, so.
It would help me personally if I had an address. I don't even care so much about their names, but then I can drop.
Kind of need to know who it was for. Too.
Sure, of course.
Kind of helps us keep the application straight.
Because I don't remember.
In the Harrelson commercial zone change, that's completed now.
It is in recorded. So now that it's been recorded, once it is recorded, we're getting confirmation of that, which we don't have yet.
Okay.
That will start his year for his development. And if that doesn't happen within a year, then we're able to look at that again. So once that recording takes place, I know he has the document, but I haven't heard that we have confirmation that it has been recorded.
Okay.
And the public hearings, you said, are the next city council, town council meeting. So we have a couple of hearings set.
Right here.
Oh, you want to mention that?
Gebo?
Gebo?
Gebo.
Yeah, Church Inco.
Gebo.
February and March, we have these items. At least we've notified the individuals and asked them to notify us to make sure they're on the agenda.
I did speak with Gebo's attorney yesterday, and he confirmed the March 7th date would be best for them. He's planning on that for the hearing.
And I did get a text message today from Church Inco's, and they're definitely planning on the February meeting also.
So those two will be, and that will be held by the council, both of those. It'll be a public hearing.
Item planning, it might be a good thing to attend.
Yes, I would recommend that.
We'd love to have you.
We would. And I listen to your meetings too. If I don't come, I mean, if I come, it's just as a citizen and listening. We don't contribute because we don't want to influence what your deliberations are. But if I didn't come to the meeting, I will listen to it online. It's good for us to know too what you're doing.
Sorry, Mary. Uh-huh. I got one other comment. I see Jeremy Kill on here. I visited with Jeremy Kill. 2 days ago, and he's in the process of handling what he needs to handle. He went down and is applying for a building permit, and that issue will move forward as he gets the permit filled out. He filled that out. Ryan was yesterday or the day before.
I do have a filled out permit.
Okay.
We're waiting on some other information, but we're making headway.
Yeah. So three of those items right there are on agendas and being worked through. So
the second paper I just handed out is just terminology on applications that you'll need to become familiar with, because you will hear those.
Eric, I'd like to add one to this. PUE. PUE is public utility easement, and it's not on our list, but anyway, that comes up quite a bit too.
I was stuck on aesthetic zoning, but anyway. Okay.
This is great, Eric. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, this is just some of the training material on the League of Cities and Towns. You see that sticker on top? That's all available to you online. You can't sleep at night. Good place to go.
You can get signed up for emails telling you when the training is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And most of it's probably not something you're interested in, but there are some good ones. I mean, there's manhole safety and some of those that. Okay, next one we have is discussion of future agenda items. And unless somebody has something they just really want to talk about, send them to me and we'll get them on the agenda.
I did have one thing. I had somebody contact me about short-term rentals and the fact that our town code conflicts with state code. In fact, we're getting ready to have the state legislature again. Every year they pass 400 bills, and a lot of them affect us. And we need to, you know, start making adjustments with our code. But anyway, I did have somebody contact me about that and wanted to know what we were planning to do about it. So that would be. I'm just passing that along. I am passing that along to you if you would take a look at short-term rentals and see if we can comply with the state code.
Okay. Is that short-term rental of a movable body?
Like Airbnb.
Or short-term rental of an apartment?
It's like Airbnbs.
Yeah, okay.
VRBO, those kinds of things.
Okay.
Move
to that end. Turn it back to Scott.
Hey, I answer to whatever. Scott's good name. Served me all the life. Okay. Appreciate that. Let's go to item number 10, possible closed session. That's permitted to we see any reason to have a closed session meeting this evening?
I don't have anything.
Nope.
Okay, I don't either.
I'll call for a motion then to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
Do I have a first?
I'll second that.
Second that, okay. Let's call for a vote.
Mary, aye.
John, aye.
Robin, aye.
Scott.
I think it's you.
Meeting adjourned. Thanks for all of your attendance and all of your doing.
Thank you.
I think I got one.
Mary, have you got a sheet of paper that you can put on?
Multiple.